appointments. There are all kinds of appointments that are made in the world today. For example, there are appointments that are made in the everyday arena of the private sector, like the dreaded appointments that we make with our doctors and our dentists, or the pleasant appointments that we make with the spa or the hair salon. Well, then there are the executive appointments that are made within the official arena of government, like when a president appoints a certain judge to preside over a specific court. But the appointments that I want to consider this morning are really the ones that occur within the system of faith that we call Christianity. And here in our study of Nehemiah chapter 7, we'll discover that the Lord has a plan to appoint every Christian into a position of service so that we can become active members of His church body. Therefore, this morning we're going to spend our time making sure that we aren't missing our appointments with God. And so let's open our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 7. And there in Nehemiah chapter 7, we find Nehemiah appointing different people into different positions there within the city of Jerusalem. And here in Nehemiah chapter 7, we're beginning there at verse 1, where Nehemiah tells us that it was when the wall was built and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And I said to them, "Do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot, and while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors, and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house." Well, here in these verses, we find Nehemiah appointing three different groups of people into various positions there within the community of Jerusalem. And now that the wall has been completed, and now that the gates have been hung, there's other opportunities for serving the Lord there in the city. And as we spend some time examining the way that Nehemiah appointed these people into their positions, we'll also compare this to the way that Jesus also appoints his disciples into various positions within his church. So here in our study today, we're going to consider the way that God appoints ministers, number one. We're going to consider the way that God appoints ministers who will minister to one another within his church. Number two, we'll also see how God appoints leaders. Leaders who can lead his church into his perfect will. And thirdly, we'll see how God appoints protectors. People who can bring a level of protection to the church and guard the church from both physical and spiritual danger. Well, with this as our outline, I think that we should spend our time this morning making sure that as believers, we aren't missing our appointments with God. And I want to do so by first considering the way that God appoints ministers within the church. In order to do this, I want to begin by looking at the way that Nehemiah appointed the ministers, that being the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites there in Jerusalem. And so check out verse 1 again, where Nehemiah tells us that after the wall was built and I had hung the doors, that the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites were appointed. Now we should stop right here because I believe that it's important to point out that the word appointed there, it comes from a Hebrew word that's found in its passive form. In other words, think about it like this. Nehemiah didn't just go out into the city and start grabbing people and say, "You're going to serve God and you're going to do this position over here and we're going to force you to do this thing over there." And no, he wasn't forcing people to serve God, but rather he was passively offering opportunities to the inhabitants of Israel so that they might step up and serve God, not from compulsion, not from intimidation, but because they had a heart to serve the Lord. And he did this by simply offering them that opportunity to serve the Lord according to their gifts and their callings. And those who would agree, well, they were the ones who were then appointed into the ministry. From this, we must understand that the Lord doesn't want people to serve him from compulsion. He doesn't want people to serve him from intimidation. But instead, the Lord desires that his people, that those who trust in him, would desire to serve him happily and willingly, recognizing that our highest honor that we could ever achieve in this lifetime is to become a servant of the Most High God. Whatever you think is the grandest position in the world today, serving God is even better. Serving God is our highest honor and our most holy pursuit. Well, those who actually will make themselves available to God will then be appointed into the appropriate ministerial position according to the opportunities that are available within a given community. And with this in mind, I want to look again there at verse 1, where Nehemiah revealed that after the wall was built and after the doors were hung, there were three ministerial opportunities available to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, beginning with that position of gatekeeper. Now, we should understand that this position of gatekeeper, it was originally instituted by King David when he set porters at the gates of the house of the Lord. So Nehemiah, well, he was only reinstituting the position that King David had originally ordained. And according to David's direction, the gatekeepers were the priests and they were the Levites who stood guard at every temple entrance. And while these gatekeepers were appointed to provide some level of temple security, they also collected offerings from the worshipers and provided general maintenance to the temple grounds. Therefore, this position of gatekeeper not only took care of the spiritual needs there at the gates, but also the practical needs of just general building maintenance. Now, with this position in mind, we should also understand that there are gatekeeping-style opportunities for us to serve here at Calvary South Austin. For example, there are opportunities to serve God here within our Christian community by simply standing at the front door and greeting people as they arrive. Imagine, there are many extroverts here, people who love to greet other people, people who love to interact with other people, and maybe you're one of those people. And you know what? What better place for you to be than right there at that front door with that big smiling face, with the hi, how are yous, and come on in, welcome to Calvary South Austin, handing a bulletin to them as they walk in. That might be a great way for someone to hold a gatekeeping position here at Calvary South Austin. But you could also serve God as an usher, and our ushers bring people and help them to find a good seat where they can enjoy the service and pass out Bibles to those who need them. But then another gatekeeping position here at our church is that of the maintenance crew. We actually have a work day once a month where people come together and they do their best to try to make this 6,000 square foot warehouse space be as nice as it possibly can. And surely time is going to win the battle against this place, and it's eventually going to fall apart. And you know, it all burns in the end. But for now, we're going to do our best to try to keep it up and maintain it in a way that is comfortable for all of us to come and worship in. And our maintenance crew shows up and they tend the gate. They take care of that maintenance in that way. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and sometimes you're just kind of like, what do I do this week? You know, and you got, of course, the kid duties and the cleaning duties. But sometimes you just need adult interaction, if you will. And, you know, for you, there's an opportunity twice a week to come up here and join other ladies. You can place your child in one of our children's ministry rooms, and there's a group of ladies that go around the church and they just clean up stuff. They get stuff ready for the next service. And so before Wednesdays and before Sundays, there's an opportunity to come and be a part of that gatekeeping, maintenance, and cleaning type crew. Without a doubt, there are many ways to serve God as a gatekeeper here at Calvary South Austin. Therefore, if you think that God is calling you to serve Him in one of these ways, I want to encourage you with this. I want to encourage you by telling you, don't miss your appointment. God has an appointment for you. And I just want to encourage you, don't miss it, because in that appointment, there are just many, many blessings. And so allow God to appoint you as His gatekeeper here at Calvary South Austin. The second ministerial opportunity that Nehemiah appointed people to was the position of singer. This, again, was a position that David originally ordained when he appointed the brethren of the Levites to be the singers who would then lead the nation in worship with stringed instruments and harps and cymbals, and they would raise their voice with resounding joy. Now, with this in mind, I want you to hold your place here in Nehemiah 7. Turn with me to Psalm 150. As you turn to Psalm 150, I want to point out that according to King David's original direction, Nehemiah also appointed singers from the brethren of the Levites who would then lead the people of God into songs of praise and worship. And so without a doubt, there were specific people who were spiritually gifted and appointed to this position of singer. At the same time, though, the psalmist here encouraged every Israelite to sing praises to the Lord. Check out Psalm 150, beginning there at verse 1, where the psalmist declared, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, from this we should recognize that every believer has been appointed to sing the praises of God. And while there are some Christians who have been gifted and appointed by God to lead us in worship, every one of us should do our best to be here on time, ready to praise God with our own voices. And there are positions of people here up on stage, people who have been naturally gifted to lead the worship, but we've all been called to praise the Lord. I realize that there are many reasons why many Christians don't engage in the corporate worship service here at Calvary South Austin. For example, I know that there are those who, well, they might be a little bit embarrassed to sing out loud. Maybe you don't have the voice of an angel, but more like maybe the voice of a truck driver or something, you know? And you're thinking, it's just best for everyone that I didn't sing out loud. And rather than praising the Lord with your community, from your embarrassment, you just might decide, you know what, rather than standing there and not moving my mouth, I'll just show up late. You know, I'll show up for the Bible study. Then there are those who, well, they feel like the stringed instruments, which in this day and age are electric guitars and whatnot, and the loud clashing cymbals, that's just way too loud for me. And therefore, you avoid this time of corporate worship because, you know, five songs every Sunday, that's just too much to get to, you know, to sacrifice. Then there are those of us who, well, we struggle every Sunday to worship within our Christian community simply because we just can't ever seem to get our act together, to get our family out the door and to church on time. It doesn't, you know, register in your head that you just have to wake up a little earlier, you know, but every Sunday, same old thing, you're just late for church, late for worship. Christian, listen, if this sounds like you, if this explains what's going on in your life, then please hear the words of Paul, who encouraged every Christian in this way. He said that we should continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. We should continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, there are some of us who, I mean, we wake up with praise music on our alarm clock, we get in our car and there's praise music in the CD player, and we're praising God all the way to church. Windows are rolled down, we're waking up the neighbors all the way here and just calling people to come and worship Him. That's some of us, maybe four or five of us. The rest of us are just like, okay, we got to go to church, and we're dragging ourselves up here. And the last thing that comes out of our mouth early in the morning is, you know, it's just the kind of praise that we ought to be offering. But that's why Paul called this the sacrifice of praise. It's the sacrifice of praise that we are to continually be being offered up to God. In other words, we need to show up on time to church every Sunday, ready to sing to the Lord, knowing that it might be a sacrifice. It might be hard. It might be a sacrifice, but that's the sacrifice we've been called to offer here in this church age. Therefore, if you're constantly missing your opportunity to engage in the ministry of corporate worship here at Calvary South Austin, then I want to encourage you to stop missing your appointment with God. But instead allow God to appoint you His singer here at Calvary South Austin. Well, after appointing the gatekeepers and the singers, Nehemiah then appointed the Levites. Now, this title Levite, it's most often used in reference to the tribe that descended from Levi. And this tribe, Levi, they were, you know, specially set aside to serve God in special ways. However, in this context, Nehemiah was specifically referring to the Levites that were appointed by God to teach the law of God to the people of God. As a matter of fact, when we get to Nehemiah chapter 8, we'll discover that there were certain Levites who were called to help the people understand the law by reading it out loud and then by explaining the meaning of it. So there were these appointed Levites, and that's who, you know, That's who Nehemiah is talking about here, these certain Levites who were appointed to that position. But listen, it's with the same intent that God is also raising up people here at Calvary South Austin, teachers who can take the Bible, read it out loud, and explain it so that people can understand it. And not only does that happen here in the auditorium on Sundays and Wednesdays, or at least we're hoping that it does, you know, but we've also appointed teachers in our children's ministry who can, you know, teach the Bible on that reading level and on their learning level. You see, if you bring some of these kids here into this auditorium, they're going to be, you know, antsy, and they're going to be joking around, and they're going to be causing distractions, you know, for the people around them who, you know, are sitting there trying to learn. And these kids, they're not understanding some of the words that I'm using, and they're just hating church. Why? Because they just don't get it. They don't know what's going on in here. That's why they need to be in the junior high ministry, or they need to be in our children's ministry, listening to the Bible being taught by a teacher who is appointed by God to teach on that learning level. That's why we have those teachers. We've also appointed teachers for the women's ministry and the men's ministry and the singles ministry so that every adult here can hear God's word being taught in gender-specific ways or in marital-specific ways so that we all have our needs met when it comes to understanding what the word of God says about certain situations. And in light of all this, it's very possible that God is calling you to teach His word within one of these ministries. If so, I want to encourage you. Don't miss your appointment. But instead, rather than missing your appointment with God, allow God to appoint you as a teacher of His Word. And you can do that by studying right now to show yourself approved. A Christian who knows how to rightly divide the Word of God. And God will open up the doors for you to be able to teach His Word. Well, as we consider all of these ministerial opportunities, I want to remind you that the Lord doesn't want people to serve Him from compulsion or intimidation, but instead, the Lord is actually looking for those who will simply make themselves available to God. The Lord is looking for Christians who have a changed heart, who say, you know what, I want to serve God, I want to minister to God's people. And if you will simply just have that right heart and make yourself available to God, then He will appoint you into the appropriate ministerial position according to the opportunities that are available here within our Christian community. And so just make yourself available. Make yourself available to His calling, and He will use you to minister to others. And so we see then from Nehemiah's example, we see that God has a plan to appoint ministers who will serve the people of His flock. Not only that, but here in our text today, we also see how God appoints leaders, leaders who can lead His church. And so let's turn back to Nehemiah chapter 7. Beginning there again at verse 1, we discover that when the wall was built and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. Let's stop right here, because there in verse 2, Nehemiah tells us that he gave the charge of Jerusalem to Hanani and Hananiah. And it'll help to understand that that Hebrew word charge, it can actually be translated appointed, or more specifically, appointed to a position of leadership. Therefore, when Nehemiah tells us there in verse 2 that he gave the charge of Jerusalem to Hanani and Hananiah, we should understand that he was actually appointing these men to a leadership position there in Jerusalem. And in order to understand why these men were appointed, let's take a moment to consider how we, you know a little bit about these men, beginning with Hanani. Remember, we first met Hanani back in chapter 1, when he arrived in Shushan with men from Judah. Remember, he had left Jerusalem. He had traveled 800 miles to Shushan to go find Nehemiah, because he figured that Nehemiah would be the guy who could get the job done. Remember, the walls were down. They needed to rebuild the walls to fortify the city. And, well, Hanani had a plan. He had vision for accomplishing this work. He traveled that distance. He arrived there in Shushan. And so we understand from that Hanani was a man with vision, and he was a man who had an understanding of the importance of delegation. He probably understood that he couldn't accomplish the work on that wall, but he figured that Nehemiah did. And so he went with vision, and he delegated the job to Nehemiah. Well, Nehemiah also gave charge to Hananiah. by appointing him a leadership position there in Jerusalem. And there in the middle of verse 2, Nehemiah tells us that one reason why was due to the fact that Hananiah was already a leader of the citadel, which means that he was, you know, he was a leader of the fortress there at the temple. But it means that he had some life experience. It means that he had some leadership experience. And so he was really leaning on this guy who had some leadership experience. Not only that, but Nehemiah tells us there in the verse that he appointed Hananiah this leadership position because he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And so he was a godly leader and he was a godly man. Therefore, Nehemiah knew that Hananiah would be a good leader. Well, as we consider these two men and their leadership strengths, I also want to point out that we can assume here that because they were men, because they were human, they probably also had leadership weaknesses. For example, we know that Hananiah was a faithful man who was filled with the fear of the Lord, and he knew how to lead other men from his life experience, and yet it's very possible, it's very, very possible that he may have struggled with vision casting and delegation. I mean, he was a leader there in Jerusalem as those walls laid in ruins. And it wasn't his idea to travel to Shushan to go find Nehemiah. No, he was just satisfied with being the leader that he was over the temple fortress and leaving as is good enough. And so maybe he was strong in some areas, experience and leading others, but not so strong in vision and delegation. While Hanani, he was the man with vision, and he was the man who knew how to delegate this project to Nehemiah, and yet at the same time, it would appear that this was his first official leadership assignment. And so he was probably a little wet behind the ears. Probably lacked the people skills that come from years and years of leadership experience. And so they both were men of leadership strengths and leadership weaknesses. Having worked alongside of these men throughout the entire building project, I'm guessing that Nehemiah knew about the strengths and the weaknesses of both men, which is why he probably appointed both men into leadership positions so that together they could both help him to govern the city of Jerusalem. You see, Nehemiah wasn't looking for the perfect leader. No, he was looking for a few leaders that could balance each other out and help him to lead this city. With three men in charge, each man could exercise their leadership strengths and then guard each other's leadership weaknesses, just like a good team of leaders ought to. Now, as I consider the way that Nehemiah, Hanani, and Hananiah worked together there in Jerusalem to lead the city, I can't help but to think about the leadership team that Jesus put together during his earthly ministry. So hold your place here in Nehemiah 7 and turn with me to Mark chapter 3. It's in Mark chapter 3 where we find Jesus. He's withdrawing from the crowds. He's getting away from the multitudes for a time. And he went to the Sea of Galilee and he took his disciples with him. And Mark doesn't tell us exactly how many disciples were traveling with him at this point in time. It could have been upwards of 100 and some odd. But we don't know. We don't know how many disciples were traveling with him. But we do know that Jesus called 12 of them and appointed them into a leadership position. Check out Mark 3, beginning there at verse 14, where Mark tells us that Jesus had appointed 12, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Well, here in these verses, Mark presented us with this list of men that Jesus appointed to the leadership position of apostle. And there at the top of the list, we actually find the what we call the inner circle of Jesus' leadership, the inner circle, namely Peter, James, and John. These were the three men who rose to the highest ranks within the 12. And Peter was there on the first of the list. He was without a doubt a guy with many leadership qualities. I mean, he was a take charge kind of guy. This guy would just tell you what was on his mind and lead you in the direction that he thought was best. And the problem with that, though, is that he didn't always know what was best. And he would speak before thinking, and sometimes he would say the right things, and sometimes he would say the wrong things. And so leadership strengths and leadership weaknesses. Then there was James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, both of whom were very zealous for the Lord. So zealous that they followed him into Samaria, and when they came across a group of Samaritans that didn't want to receive Jesus, they said, well, let's call down fire from the sky and just burn these guys up. That's why Jesus started calling them the sons of thunder. These guys were just so zealous for the Lord that any slight rejection would just send them off into anger. Leadership strengths, leadership weaknesses. Unfortunately, time would keep us from exploring all of the strengths and all of the weaknesses of all 12 of these guys. But let me just remind you a few things. Because at one point in time, these guys were fighting about which one of them would be the greatest in the kingdom. Leadership weaknesses. And then they went out, according to the commission of the Lord, healing the sick, preaching the gospel, and leading people to the Lord. Leadership strengths. At one point in time, they're swearing their undying allegiance to Jesus. Leadership strengths. And then they were denying that they ever knew him just after his arrest. Leadership weaknesses. At one point, they're refusing to wash each other's feet. Leadership weaknesses. And soon after, they're serving the orphans and the widows there within their community. Leadership strengths. We see here that the apostles, these guys were just ordinary, regular guys with the same strengths and the same weaknesses that we all have. And yet out of the 12, 11 of them went on to become the great leaders that Jesus knew they could be. And partly because they learned how to work with one another. They learned how to demonstrate and exercise their strengths and guard each other's weaknesses. And listen, I believe that the Lord wants to appoint the same sort of ordinary people into leadership positions here in our day and age. People who will exercise their strengths to the glory of God and at the same time trust that God can reveal his strength through our weaknesses. Therefore, if God is calling you to a leadership position, then I want to encourage you, don't miss your appointment just because you're worried about some weakness that you have. Don't miss your appointment, and don't miss being appointed by God into the position that he has for you just because, you know what, you struggle in one area or another. Instead, I want to encourage you to commit your strengths to the Lord and serve him according to your calling. And as you do, here's what's going to happen. The Lord's going to surround you with other leaders. Other leaders who have strengths where you might be weak. And together, the Lord brings together a team of human leaders who can guard each other's weaknesses and exercise their strengths and balance each other out and get his work done by his power for his glory. And so we see then that God appoints ministers to serve one another within his church according to the needs of that church. We also see that God appoints leaders to lead the church by taking ordinary people with their strengths and their weaknesses, and by his power, he uses them to accomplish his wonderful will. Not only that, but here in our text today, we also see that God has a plan to appoint protectors. Protectors who can guard the church. If you would turn back to Nehemiah 7, I want to consider how Nehemiah appointed guards there in Jerusalem. Looking at verse 3, Nehemiah tells us, I said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house. Well, here in verse 3, Nehemiah tells us that he appointed guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And we should understand that this word appoint, well, it comes from another Hebrew word that means to ordain or to establish or to cause to stand up and stand firm. So you might be interested to know that this word appoint, this word that means to establish and ordain, well, it's found in the infinitive form. And here's what that means. It means that Nehemiah is telling these guys, he's appointing them as guards, and he's saying, start guarding this city and continue to guard this city. That's why Nehemiah gave each man a position at a watchtower along the wall. But not only that, he said, hey, when you go home, don't forget you're a guard. You're a guard on the watchtower and you're a guard at your house. You need to guard this city from danger. So not only did Nehemiah understand the importance of appointing the ministers at the temple and the leaders of the community, but he also recognized the need to appoint a militia of men who could provide protection for the city's inhabitants. And that's why he appointed these guards, not only around the perimeter of the city, but also all throughout Jerusalem at the doors of their houses. With this in mind, I believe that the Lord also has a plan to appoint guards here at Calvary South Austin to help protect our church, both physically and spiritually. And in order to explain what I mean, let's turn to Acts chapter 20. As you turn to Acts chapter 20, I want to first talk a little bit about the guards that we have who have been appointed to provide us with physical protection. And I believe that one word will help you to understand our plan for protection. And that one word is this: ninjas. We actually have three ninjas who are hiding throughout the building at all points in time. First sign of any troubles, ninja throwing stars get thrown. Seriously, though, the fact is we've all seen the tragic reports of school-related shootings and church-related shootings here in our country. And the sad fact is there are bad people out there who want to do bad things, and sometimes in really good places. That being the case, we want you to feel completely safe as you come and worship God here at Calvary South Austin. That's why our ushers have been instructed to stay on guard and be watchful during our worship services. And you know, you had possibly a guy lead you to a chair, and when you first got here, you probably didn't know this, but they patted you down before they seated you. You just probably didn't feel it. They're that good. But no, but seriously, we have ushers here who stay on guard during worship services. They have an eye out of what's going on in the parking lot, of what's going on here in the auditorium, of what's going on in our children's ministry. And not only that, but we take everyone who signs up for children's ministry here in our church, and we do a background check on them. And we want to know if this is a person that we can trust with our kids, because we want to provide protection for our kids and for our adults so that we can worship God without worries and without concerns. And so we ask our ushers to stay on guard, to provide us with physical protection as we come and hang out here at Calvary South Austin. But not only that, we also want to provide spiritual protection for our church. And if you would, look at Acts chapter 20. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Because here in Acts chapter 20, we find Paul, and we find him warning once again the Christians at the church there in Ephesus about the heresies that were creeping into the church. And you can hear his passion beginning there at verse 28. You can hear this passion of Paul as he declared, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Here in these verses, we find Paul encouraging the elders at the church in Ephesus to take heed, to stand guard, to watch, both for their own sake and for the sake of the flock, for the sake of the church of God. You see, he knew that false teachers would come in with false doctrines and introduce heresies to take those people that Jesus has paid for by the shedding of his blood, to take them off track so that they find themselves in the middle of a heretical and false church. And so he was telling them, stay on guard. Stay on guard because these wolves are going to come in. And they're not going to spare your flock. So stay on guard. Get ready to protect them, spiritually speaking. And so we see here Paul appointing the elders in Ephesus to be spiritual protectors of the church. But now, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because it's in 1 Timothy 6 that we find Paul. He's writing to Timothy. And you know, he had sent Timothy there to Ephesus to help those elders to continue to provide that protection. And he's writing this first letter to Timothy, encouraging Timothy in the same way that he had encouraged the elders of the same region. Check out 1 Timothy 6. We're beginning at verse 20, where Paul declared, "O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith." This command given to Timothy to guard what was committed to his trust, well, it had everything to do with the truth of the gospel message as well as the Christians under his leadership. Oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Oh, Timothy, guard that gospel message with your life. Make sure that the truth continues to be proclaimed there in Ephesus. Oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Oh, Timothy, guard those Christians, those believers that are under your leadership. Therefore, Timothy was the appointed protector who was called to stand on guard against every heresy there in Ephesus. And that's exactly what he did. Now, as we consider these two levels of protection, the physical and the spiritual protection that's needed in the church today, it's possible that the Lord has a plan to appoint you into one of these two positions. For example, as we've considered the importance of providing a level of physical protection for our Christian community, it's possible that the Lord is calling you to become an usher here at Calvary South Austin. It's possible that the Lord is calling you to provide that physical protection by standing on guard as others are worshiping and studying the Word. It's possible that the Lord is calling you into this position, and if so, then I want to encourage you, don't miss your appointment with God. Do not miss your appointment with God, but instead call the church and find out how you might be able to serve as an usher here at Calvary South Austin. Well, after considering the general need for spiritual protection as well against every heresy, it's possible that the Lord is also calling you to focus your energy on examining and exposing the faulty teachings of false teachers. And if so, then I want to encourage you, don't miss your appointment with God. But instead, start researching the apologetic issues of our day and our age so that you can sound the alarm and warn others about the destructive doctrines and the harmful heresies that are introduced by evil people. Well, as we consider all of this, we must understand that ministers, leaders, and protectors, these were the positions that Nehemiah appointed various people into. And from his example, we can better understand God's plan for appointing believers into the different positions that are available here within our church. Therefore, I want to encourage you, if the Lord wants to appoint you as his minister here at Calvary South Austin, don't miss your appointment. But instead, step up by faith and serve your Lord and Savior by ministering to the people of his flock. And if the Lord wants to appoint you as his leader, to help lead our church into his will, then don't miss your appointment. But instead, step up by faith and lead the people of God by the power of God. And if the Lord wants to appoint you as his protector to help guard our church from evildoers, then don't miss your appointment. But instead, step up by faith and take a stand against those who would like to do harm to the followers of Christ. Christian, in conclusion, let me just say this. Please believe me when I tell you that the Lord has a plan and he has an appointment that's designed especially for you. And you might think, well, the Lord wants to use someone else, but not me. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord has a plan to use you in incredible ways. And so I'm encouraging you, don't miss your appointment. Let's pray.